Welcome to the New York Podcasting Cafe with your host, Carmen Amoros.
Hello, this is Carmen Amoros. Thank you for joining me on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Today, I have a great interview with the brilliant, multi-talented Marilyn Michaels. The interview will feature her impersonations, some of her music, and a bit about her television and stage work, and some talk about her collaborations with her partner and son, Mark Wilk, also a professional pianist himself. If you haven't done so already, pause this program, grab a cup of coffee or hot cocoa, and hang with us for an hour. You're going to enjoy this interview, so stay with us.
We asked Marilyn to come in. She did a good impression of Katharine Hepburn during the commercials.
Yes, she did.
She is wonderful. I loved it. She's just great hanging in there and everything. Spencer always liked it.
She got Marilyn Michaels to do an impression.
And Elizabeth Taylor.
And she called someone from our staff.
God, my hips are wrong.
That's beautiful.
I know it. Howard, I have one here and one here. God, I'm not in balance. It's all messed up.
That's Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes, I know. I'm a star, Howard. You never have me on.
Or is that Betty White? Do some of people in the city, and then we're going to play your phony phone call that you made.
I wanted to call Allison.
That's Dr. Ruth.
And I wanted to discuss with her because I know she always says, you know, everything is all right. She doesn't even agree with you on most things.
That's good. Very nice.
Who are you at this moment?
Sissy Leach, and I talk exactly the way my brother Robin does. Yes, and we're going to cook tonight. We're cooking.
We're cooking Marilyn Michaels' incredible chicken.
Incredible, delicious chicken. The only dish I can make, you know.
It isn't.
It's the only thing I do. I never step into the kitchen, you know. I put on an apron to order out.
I'm very proud of the progress, sis, that you've made from leaving the old country and coming to America.
Well, I left the old country. I didn't talk that way. I talked this way.
And then you changed.
That's right.
It's out of control.
Definitely.
What do you think she eats for breakfast?
You should see our house in the morning.
Marilyn Michaels playing Bette Midler, the Divine Miss M.
Divine Miss M. Showered, powdered, and painted into the ravishing beauty you see before your eyes. You know, I would have been here sooner. But I've been working on a sequel to E.T. In this one, E.T. and I were sitting on the porch and we're smooching like crazy. And E.T. says, what the hell? I'll call home tomorrow.
Marilyn Michaels, known as America's premier woman of a thousand faces and voices, a one-of-a-kind talent who does famous impressions of Carol Channing, Bette Midler, Dolly Parton, Barbra Streisand, Madonna, Karen Carpenter, Dr. Ruth, and many others. Marilyn's character portrayals have been seen on hundreds of major television shows and showrooms in America and around the world. In the 1970s, Marilyn Michaels and a team of comedy impressionists brought their amazing talents to ABC on the Emmy-winning TV series The Copycats, with such comedy luminaries as Rich Little, Frank Gorshin, and many others. Later, Marilyn would bring her talent to The Great White Way, starring in Catskills on Broadway. This came to earn her Outer Critics Circle Award and a Drama League Award. Won't you please join me in welcoming comedy genius, impressionist, amazing singer, actor, playwright, and Renaissance woman, Marilyn Michaels, to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Marilyn Michaels, welcome to the New York Podcasting Cafe. I'm quite honored to have you here. I'm so humbled.
Oh my God, wow. That's very sweet.
It took a little bit of time for me to get you here. You're a very busy lady, always doing so much, doing shows and things like that, except you're no longer doing shows in the Catskills and that stuff.
I haven't done shows in the Catskills in a very, very, very long time, you know. I started out there, but unfortunately it's the places that I worked in, and you were there last night at the Actors Temple with Jackie Hoffman, and we were talking about that. And they said, is there anything up there? Yeah, trees. There are a lot of trees there. I mean, there used to be, you know, dozens of places, but that's gone. But my life has taken many, many, many turns since then. I was very young when I worked in the Catskill Mountains.
Let's go back to the beginning. You began performing at about age 4.
Yeah, let's not go back too far. No.
Okay.
Yes, I did. I was performing at age 4 because I was, you know, a show kid. My mother was in a Yiddish theater, Friedel Oischer, and my dad sang with the Metropolitan Opera. So I was I spent a lot of time in the Yiddish theater watching my mother and my uncle, great cantor, Moshe Oischer. And then I'd go up to the Metropolitan Opera, which was on 39th Street in Manhattan, which is now the Fashion District. They had the old Metropolitan Opera, the great, phenomenal place. I spent a lot of time there, and I was like the brat of the Metropolitan Opera. Like, if you've heard of Eloise from the Plaza Hotel, you know, that iconic cartoon. Well, I spent a lot of time at the opera, so I had a tremendous background in classical music, a lot of classical opera, theater music. All that kind of stuff.
And that explains your high range. You have an amazing vocal range and doing impressions of Barbra Streisand and all of the luminaries of the 60s, 70s, and now the current time.
Yeah, well, there was some talk about me at that time when I sang. I did sing in the coloratura soprano register, which anybody who can gets to see that Ed Sullivan clip of me can hear me doing that sort of thing. But I used to do that in a lot of performances because it was so shocking for the audience to hear that coming out of me. It was a real novelty. But then it got harder and harder to do that and pray that the D above high C would be there. Because I'm singing Musetta's Waltz from La Boheme, and I said, I got to stop doing this. So after a while, I was doing a lot of work, and I stopped using that. Well, when you stop using the soprano register, I think you're a singer, Carmen, right? So you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you stop using that register, and if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, you know? So
you do.
Yeah,
you do.
But
it takes a couple of weeks for me to get back to a high C, let alone anything above high C.
Well, it would take me a couple of lifetimes to get back to it. I think those notes are gone. Anyway, as we age, you know, we do lose, with age, childbirth, and the body changes, and you do lose those notes. You start singing lower. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be, the greatest soprano or whatever. You do, the voice does change, and it does.
It does.
It is lower. You sing in a lower key. Thank you for that
welcome.
Compliment. Yes, yes.
Well, I was very impressed with the fact that you did the national company of Funny Girl while Barbra Streisand was performing it on stage, right, in the 1960s. And that's a lot of work, stage work, vocally, every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I think back on it, I say, oh, my God, how did I do that?
Me and my baby and me. We're about as happy as babies can be. What if I find that I'm caught in a storm? I don't care, my baby's there, and baby's bound to keep me warm. We're sticking together, and ain't we got fun? So much together, you'd count us as one. Tell old man worried to go climb a tree. 'Cause I'm with my baby, I got my baby, look at my baby and me. Look at my baby and me, a dream of a duo, now don't you agree? Why keep it mum when there's nothing to hide? And what I feel I must reveal, it's more than I can keep inside. And I can assure you it grows every day. Let me assure you, it won't go away. I was a one once, but now I'm a we. 'Cause I got my baby. Dear little baby, look at my baby and me. Look at my baby and me.
Baby and
facing
me.
The world optimistically.
Mystically.
Nothing can stop us, so nobody try. 'Cause baby's rough and full of stuff.
And incidentally, so am I.
Get out of our way, folks.
Get
out
of our way.
Watch every bubble and blossom and bloom.
Life is a prison, but we got the key.
'Cause me and my baby.
Oh, what a baby.
Dear little baby.
Cute little baby.
It was harder to do than doing the show on Broadway because, well, you do the show on Broadway, you do 8 performances a week, matinees on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and then, you know, you go home, and that's good. And you have Monday off, and Tuesday night you're performing again. But what happened here is when you're in a national company, we would be traveling on our day off. Can you imagine? I must have been, whoa. So we'd go by train, by plane, by bus. It depends where we were. And on a Monday, which was supposed to be the day off, we would be traveling to go to the next town. Of course, it was better when we hit Los Angeles, the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, which was one of the great experiences of my life. And we were there for 7 weeks. We were 7 weeks at the Curran Theater in San Francisco, 10 weeks at the Schubert in Chicago.
Wow.
So I could kind of put down roots, you know, for a month or two. And it was a very thrilling time for me. It was very hard work, obviously, doing Funny Girl, which was one of the most difficult shows vocally, next to the Andrew Lloyd Webber, Evita, things that he writes for the female voice. You would think that he doesn't like women that much, but I believe he's heterosexual. But he writes in a very high tessitura for the female voice. Patti LuPone had a lot of difficulty singing the score to Evita. And Funny Girl was equally demanding, a close second to a demanding vocally.
Especially that song, People. I don't know if that was in the original, in the national company, but that song, to me, I found it very challenging. Was that also in the same production that you did?
Of course, yeah. The national company is the exact show as the Broadway show, you know. I mean, the costumes are a little different and so forth, but of course it's the same exact thing. Yeah, you don't catch a break. On some matinees, I will say that I would do the shorter version of Don't Rain on My Parade. When we did matinees, it was very, very taxing. But I was a kid. I was up for doing it, you know. I had the energy to do it. That you do those kinds of things when you're young.
When the sky and the ground start in ringing, I know that he's near by the thunder I hear in advance.
certain people in our business today who are amazing, and they are able to persevere and work. I mean, Marilyn May, great jazz singer, is close to 90, and she's constantly working. I think it keeps her young, keeps her vital. And Patti LuPone, Bernadette Peters, they are very strong. They keep it going. Whereas I am like, it takes a lot out of me to get up there, Carmen. A lot of preparation, mental preparation, physical, and just in every way. And I get very nervous because I'm a perfectionist. I know what's expected of me. Want it to be a certain way, and it just gets... So I've been doing a lot of other things because, thank God, I have different kinds of talents that I explore, and I've been doing a lot of writing. I wrote a book with my son, which is not out yet, but we're excited about it. My son Mark is a comedy writer, an incredible musical talent as a pianist and an impressionist. He has inherited this multi-talent stuff from me, I think from my side of the family. And we've written a book together called How Not to Cook for the Rest of Your Life, which is my mantra, you know, and how to make life easier. Kind of, it's really a philosophy book, but it's a humor book, too. So I'm going to have to let you know when that comes out, because I'm very proud of that.
He's a producer also, like a filmmaker. I think I saw something about
that. His background is in film, because he went to Vassar and majored in film. But we've done a lot of writing together, which is, you know, that's kind of demanding for a mother and son, excuse me.
That's
sometimes
amazing.
Yeah, and there are times when it's so exciting and so fun because he's very talented. And there are times when we really lock horns and it's very, very difficult. And I say, go back to Brooklyn. You know, he's got an apartment in Brooklyn. I say, go. But we've also written a musical comedy called Alicia, which has had a few readings already, and we just need the funding to get that up, but I'm very proud of that. He's an excellent lyricist and book writer, so we have a number of things that we've worked on together. It's unusual. I know there's a singer by the name of Sandy Stewart, who's a terrific singer, and her son is named Charlotte. I think his father was Moose Charlotte, the composer, and she works with her son, and he is a pianist as well, so it does happen.
It does. To be so talented, to know so many things, to be able to keep that focus and still be really good, because I heard your son do Rhapsody in Blue on the piano. And
yes, that's on YouTube.
Blown
Mark
away.
Wilk. I just want to say Mark Wilk.
Mark Wilk.
W-I-L-K. So people can log into that and then see him do impressions. Oh, my God. It's he's doing Woody Allen and Dustin Hoffman and... Christopher Walken, Jack Nicholson, it's great fun. You've seen it. I mean, we've got such a great response to it. It's only been up for a day or so, and people are just flipping out. And it makes me feel good, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's one of your peeps, like the kids say these days.
Yeah, that's right.
It must feel wonderful to see that you've passed your genes to your child.
It's amazing. When I see that, how did that happen? I really believe I would have been a happier parent, maybe even a happier person, if my son had become an attorney or an accountant or something that is just straight ahead and, you know, but he's a creative artist. And you know what it means to be a creative artist. You are, and so is your husband, Ira. And when you're creative, it's a great passion. But it's also very difficult. It's difficult to make a living, you know. You have to have a hide of an elephant to keep it out there and to persevere. It's very, very, very difficult. So it's a double-edged sword, the fact that he is as creative as he is, really brilliant. It's a double-edged sword for me as a parent. But I am proud.
You've come out a winner as far as I'm concerned already.
Oh, you're very sweet. You're a great fan, and you're very supportive, Carmen, you know.
So beautiful.
That's wonderful.
Let's try to listen to as many of the young up-and-coming talent as possible, especially the ones that have that nostalgic thing for music. They're bringing back the old material. I find
But who do you like of the younger people today who are not into the Great American Songbook but do rap music? Is there anybody that stands out that you appreciate, or even in comedy?
I like Usher. I can listen to Usher. Not all of
it. Oh, Usher is great. Isn't he great? Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
And
he's
John
wonderful.
Legend is another one of my favorites. John Legend, who is also quite a dreamboat. What a charmer. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And Kanye West, unfortunately, I don't get that at all. Not at all.
No.
But, yeah, these guys are great. So there are some talented people. Justin Timberlake is very talented.
Yes.
I know. I still like Christina Aguilera. Oh, there's a girl, Ariana Grande, who is fantastic.
Fabulous.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Ed Sheeran, he's not too bad. I like the fact that he's a little bit of the Motown vibe in the song Thinking Out Loud. I don't know if you've heard it.
Say again,
it's
who?
Ed Sheeran. He sings a song called Thinking Out Loud.
Yeah,
I've
heard
it. Reminds me a little bit of the
name.
Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, rhythm. Really nice, and really nice stuff that these young performers are putting out today.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Well,
stuff.
I think the shows like The Voice and all of the American Idol, they're great singers. I must say that they're great to the point of when I started out and even before. They did not have singers of this caliber, with this kind of vocal prowess. Now, they had great boy singers. I mean, Frank Sinatra would not have a place today, unfortunately, and he is my icon of all icons.
Mine,
you know,
too.
Sinatra and Vic Damone and Julie LaRose and all these guys, Jack Jones, a friend of mine who I've worked with a lot, they're very fine. They're very fine jazz vocalists. But the people today, they have to have a power and a range far and beyond some of the folks that I started out with.
Lots of energy. Lots of
energy. Yeah. Oh, the whole thing is about energy. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. The style is very high-powered. Anybody who starts today, they have to be prepared to sing naked. Part of your success is being naked or wearing an outlandish costume.
Right.
I find that really unfortunate because many of these gals are really terrific. Like I said, this latest one, Little Baby Ariana Grande, fabulous. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's singing naked yet. She's kind of controlled with what she's doing, how she's presenting herself, you know, where she's like hip but not totally nuts. It's like a circus. I admire circus, but I personally don't think that talent needs to be displayed as circus, but
no.
I guess this is the style, so what are you going to do?
And it's sad because it's so distracting, and if the person has a lot of talent, the talent sort of gets washed out. This is a very visual generation. They seem to like
to be entertained by what
they see more.
Very, very visual, which makes for, although I think that Lady Gaga is a legitimate talent, really, blows me away. She's amazing. But the part of the cornerstone of her success has to do with how outlandish she has produced herself. You know, let's look at this. So how crazier can it get? So that's a huge, huge part of it. That's it. Styles change. Eventually they come back to the classical manner of doing things.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into spring. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling so sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudel, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodle, wackies that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings,
So, you know, I'm just thinking of all this stuff I'm talking to you about now. This, I'm going to do another book. I never get into this as intensely as we're talking about it, and it might make an interesting thing to write about.
Absolutely. I think this new generation would appreciate it. I think the young people, they're looking back to the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 70s music, the 70s style. And you were there. You did all of these amazing recordings. You have a fabulously huge discography, filmography. You were on all of these shows, the Ed Sullivan Show, Hollywood Palace, Jackie Gleason American Scene Magazine, NBC's Hullabaloo with Sammy Davis Jr. You were all over. You're the authority of entertainment on stage and television.
I think I was lucky in that regard, you see, that I started out. And I was able, when I hit it, and I was able to do these great shows. And the Tonight Show, Dean Martin Show, this was wonderful. This was called television variety, working with Gary Smith and Dwight Hemian. They don't have this today. It's not that they don't have a variety television show, Carmen, they do. But it changes, the form changes. And the form is The Voice. It's the X Factor. It's the American Idol. It changes. It morphs into a different structure.
It does.
But that's what television variety is now. And we do find the great talent. It just changes. Like, there was a show called the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, and that morphs through the years until it becomes The Voice, you see?
Right.
It's the same show. It's the same premise. Competitive, new talent. That's the same premise.
I was blown away when I first saw you on Copycats with Frank Gorshin, Rich Little, and those guys. What was it like working with them?
Oh, God.
Is that too general? Or?
No. No. What a thrill. Oh, my God. What a thrill. Oh, geez. That sounds like a platitude. Frank Gorshin was considered by all of us who did impression the daddy, quote-unquote, daddy of them all. And we were all very excited to be working with Frank.
He was the Riddler on Batman, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The classic Batman?
Yeah. Wow. So we were really excited to be working with him. And then there was another guy, Will Jordan, who was kind of a genius, who did a very famous Ed Sullivan impression that a lot of people don't know. Phenomenal genius. Maybe you can find him on YouTube. Sometimes you can. There's a guy named Guy Marks who was a genius who did Gary Cooper. Oh, God. These guys were just brilliant. And I was the gal in the middle of the whole thing. And then I found myself working with Frank and doing different bits with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to pinch yourself that you are working with your idol.
Wow.
And then you guys are,
I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah.
That's how I feel interviewing you.
It's wonderful. And he was charming, and he was sexy, and he was marvelous to work with. And there is one of our things is on YouTube, Judy Garland and Al Jolson. So I'm doing Judy, he's doing Al. And, oh, that's a great piece.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes, it is, Carmen.
Okay,
it's from the Copycats, and somebody posted it up there. And it's a, if I do say so myself, I did a really good job. And,
you were brilliant.
And it's quite a fabulous piece, and people should take a look at that, really.
I certainly will. You certainly earned your place working with those guys, because I'm sure that if we'd have been interviewing one of them, they would have been saying the same thing about you.
Oh,
you're
how
brilliant.
Sweet is
you're,
that? You know,
you're a Renaissance woman. You
it was sing. Very, it was very competitive. Even with these guys, you came into, when we did the Copycats in England, I came into the office the first day, and they had a big blackboard. And on the blackboard, they had each artist, and oh, my wonderful friend who is gone, Fred Travellina, he came in later on. He was a brilliant, brilliant talent. And Rich Little, Frank Gorshin, George Kirby, and they were all just geniuses. And under each of these names, and my own name, would be the characters that we do, okay? And everybody did a certain amount of characters, and Rich Little, he had a list that went around the block. He just did so many voices. It was quite amazing. And I had about 7 or 8 people. I said, oh, hell, if I want to get on this show, I'm going to have to learn to do more people. And I started to learn other people at that time. They had All in the Family, but I was in England, and they were telling me how to do Edith Bunker, and I had to do that for a sketch. So I learned by osmosis from other people how to do it. And then eventually I worked with the gal who did Edith. What was her name again, huh?
Ableton?
Yes, Jean. So we ended up doing the Mike Douglas Show together. What a charming, oh, God. Charming B. Arthur. I just,
yes,
to work with all of them, and they were marvelous.
You were right up there with all of them, and it's not because I started out as a fan. My teens just enjoying your shows. My mother used to call me, you know, from the living room and say, "Carmen, Carmen, Marilyn Michaels is on," and I would run halfway across the house just to catch you in some show. You were all over. There was a point where almost every week you were on two or three different shows.
I guess so. I remember there was a time when I did Merv Griffin's show. I was on that a lot. It was here in town, and they call me up frequently, so I did do his. I probably did Merv and Mike Douglas more than any of the other shows, but I did do The Tonight Show. And yeah, you're getting me to think back on all the stuff I did.
You also did the big stages of Las Vegas.
Oh, well.
You know, Don Rickles.
I opened for Don Rickles for many years at the Sahara, and where did I work? Sahara, the Riviera. And
Riviera.
And I did a thing. Also, I worked with Sammy Davis Jr. This was a great thing for me because I worshipped him. You see, he was it. Sammy Davis was the greatest performer, to me, that ever lived.
Was.
I mean, you know, he was an all-around phenomenal performer who also did impressions. So Sammy and I did a number of shows together, and it was a thrill every time. Oh, there is a Sammy, Something of Me with Sammy.
Yes.
Called Name of the Game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on YouTube. It is
great.
It is on YouTube.
All right. Now, I don't usually do this, and particularly not on an opening night. But a couple of days ago, man, I went down the street, and I saw a lady who absolutely knocked me out. She's got so much talent that it just... Well, man, it not only turns you on, it just frightens you, you know? And she's really together, her head's together. Now, I wanted her to have Billy's audience. You understand? With a lot of love, a lot of people loving each other. She deserves that kind of audience. So that's why I'm going to get her out here on the stage. She don't know nothing about it. She's been sitting in the wings watching the show. But I want you to meet her. Because if Billy says she's groovy, then she's really groovy. Right? Now let me ask you something. I want a yes or a no now. When I bring her out here, will you love her like you love me? I can't stand it. I want a big hand. A big hand, you understand? I want a big hand for Miss Marilyn Michaels. I want to hear it now. Ah! Marilyn! Come on. Come on, will you? Number, that's all. Now, what do you want to do?
Okay, Bill.
Okay, you just get it on.
Okay, Bill.
And remember,
yeah.
She's a sister now. Treat her nice. All right, I'm going to tell the band. You just do your number.
Okay, groovy.
Excuse me, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about.
So long, sad times. Go long, bad times. You are now a thing of the past.
Thing for you to do, Billy.
just want it. How I love you. How I love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
My dearest friend, I give the world to me. Among the folks here. At home.
Now, we're going to do something together. Hey, brothers, bring the piano out here. We're going to do something together, get a little soul going.
Soul?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? I think you could. Go ahead. Get it going. Right over here, baby. Right over there. I want it right here so we can get up close together. There we go. Get me a chair, bro. And get a little soul going here.
Soul, Billy? You really mean to me, soul?
You're going to sing some soul this morning.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Ah, hold it now. Let me get this microphone fixed.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Look out.
Okay.
Yeah. Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Yeah, I say, won't you come home? I hear somebody crying. Yeah, they cried out the whole night long. Go ahead, get a little piece of that.
I'm gonna do the cooking, Daddy.
Tell me about it, baby.
And I'll even pay the rent. Because I know I've done you such wrong. Oh, no.
I told you she was a sister, didn't I say that? Well, I remember, yeah. I remember the rainy evening. That you threw me out.
I threw you out.
And you left me with nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing but my old soul cone. That's
won't
my
please,
name, child.
Oh, please come home.
Let's take it from the half, guys, in this tempo. 1, 2, 3. Well, I remember. That rainy evening, you threw me out.
I'm excited about the book, How Not to Cook for the Rest of Your Life. Watch for it. It will be coming out. I don't know exactly when, but I'm hoping within the next few months. I would love to get it out before Christmas. And I wrote that with my son, Mark Wilk. And for
That's
people to
funny.
Take a look at Mark Wilk on YouTube and
see
the next generation doing impressions and playing this incredible piano. I'm so excited.
Excited, too.
Yeah.
Where does he have a like page? And do you have a like page on Facebook that people can jump?
I mean, I really am involved with Facebook. I've met extraordinary people like yourself. And I love you. You're an incredibly delicious woman. So I think that just the Marilyn Michaels page is maybe I could call it my like page, you know?
Yes, you can. Marilyn Michaels, thank you for joining me on the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Okay. Bye, love. Bye-bye.
Bye, love.
You have been listening to an interview with Marilyn Michaels, comedian, actress, impersonator, singer, songwriter, producer, painter and playwright, and also the mother of a very talented pianist impersonator himself, whose name is Mark Wilk. We end this program with Mark Wilk on piano playing a medley of Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin, New York, New York by Leonard Bernstein, and Polka Dot Moonbeams by Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke. Until then, this is Carmen Amoros. Here's Mark Wilk on piano.
Said, may I have the next one? In my frightened